My daughter has finally entered the stage of why. What used to be a simple set of instructions on my part has become a deep and profound liturgy of four-year-old philosophy. Honey, go grab your shoes and socks, please. Why? Don't forget to bring your milk with you. Why? Sweetheart, I need you to eat at least 2 chicken nuggets. Why? Now, I'm an educated person. While I did not specialize in early childhood development, I did spend nearly 2 decades in a classroom. I have read numerous books on countless ways to parent toddlers. I have prior experience in parenting a 4-year-old of equal philosophical wit 5 years ago. I know in my soul that this is a stage, and that this stage is part of her development. And yet, this well-educated, former teacher, avid reader, and parent to more than one preschool child, resorted to answering yesterday's 85th question, why, with, "Because I said so! Why can't you just do what I'm asking you to do?" Many of our scripture readings over the last couple of months have drawn attention to the fact that we are God's children, that we are to act like children, that we are beloved and adopted children of God. Well, if we are indeed children, then I think we are toddlers. We want what we want when we want it. No matter what life throws at us, we always seem to ask, why? Very often our whys are subtle. Why is it that every time I'm running late, I get stuck behind the slowest driver I've ever seen in my life and hit every single red light? Why is it so hard to schedule a doctor's appointment less than 3 months out from right now? Why on earth do they keep sending me all of these political ads in the mail? Other times, our whys cut to the core of the human condition. Why are relationships so hard sometimes? Why is my friend or loved one battling cancer again? Why does it seem that hurricanes and natural disasters keep getting worse and more frequent? Why do some people have more money than they could use in 8 lifetimes, while others live paycheck to paycheck or have nothing at all? Job was living in a season of why. For 29 chapters prior to this morning's reading, he debated back and forth with his so-called friends, and of course that wife of his, about the many whys of his conditions and the loss of his entire family, all of his children. After a steady sense of loyalty to God in the face of his friends' admonitions and their advice to abandon his faith, he finally relented and railed against the injustice of God's actions against him. He, like us, finally shouted to God his long list of whys. It is so like human beings to be in the middle of hard times and become acutely aware of the pain and discomfort that they must endure. We get caught up in our anxieties and worries, and we compound our troubles until they seem unbearable. Even Jesus himself, who was perfect and without sin, cried out to God in his final moments to let the cup of suffering pass from him. Why me, Dad? Can't you please let me out of this one just this once? This is not a literal translation, by the way, of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. God seemed silent in the face of Jesus's plea, to the point where Jesus finally cried out on the cross, "Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" Even Jesus asked why. God may have seemed silent then, and we often feel that God is silent during our own trials. But God did not remain silent in the face of Job's accusations. For once, we do not see God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is not the God of covenantal bonds. This is the God who created the entire cosmos, who can control the winds and the waves, who separates light from dark, and who calls to the Leviathan and the behemoth as though they were loyal pets, little puppy dogs on a sofa. God appears to Job in a whirlwind. And as these hurricane force winds engulf and surround Job, God speaks to him in the midst of the chaos, not with answers, but with more questions. Unfortunately, not unlike my response to my daughter. "Who are you to question me? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Have you walked on the ocean's floor? Can you ascend into the clouds where the snow waits to fall? Can you speak to the stars and bid them to shine?" God in heaven, our perfect Father, finally reached his, "Why can't you just trust me and do what I'm asking you to do?" I imagine the whirlwind was God's way of saying to Job and Job's friends, "Enough already. Just stop. Remember who you're talking to." If we stop there, then God is not painted in a very good light. God is as impatient and authoritarian as I was yesterday with my daughter. But that's not the end of the story. See, God knows that when we, like children, ask our whys, it's in a way to try to gain control over the situations in which we find ourselves. It's a way to try to understand the chaos of the world around us and to reconcile our place within it. Our whys are not in defiance or rejection of God, but they're an attempt to find meaning and purpose in our pain. Yet God's response to us is like that of Job. He takes us out of ourselves and shifts our perspective. He turns our eyes to the heavens in all its terrible glory. He turns our imaginations to the depths of the sea with all its wild creatures. He turns our focus to the magnitude of the planets and stars, galaxies away, that burn and shine upon his command. Then we remember that it is only in letting go of the control that we seek that we may truly find God in the whirlwinds of our lives. If we listen closely, if we lean in, we can hear him saying, "Just stop. I've got this. Storms may come, yet I am with you. The seas may rage, yet I am with you. You may at times feel forsaken, yet I am with you still. Be at peace." Amen.